T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time now for the Nightcap.
Who are you talking to right now? Do you know how much I make a year? I mean, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. Do you know what would happen if I suddenly decided to stop going into work? A business big enough that it could be listed on the NASDAQ goes belly up. Disappears. It ceases to exist without me. No, you clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me. No, I am the one who knocks.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right. Hello. It's the Nightcap. Joe DiBiase, Mike Jafari. On a Wednesday here on WGR. And we know who the quarterback is. It's Allen. Josh Allen will start for the Bills against the Chargers on Sunday. We talked a lot about yesterday, a lot of Peterman versus Allen, a little bit of Kaepernick, a little bit of the other free agent quarterbacks out there. Derek Anderson's name came up. Matt Moore's name came up. Joe Webb's name even came up at one point. And I guess we could still have that conversation, because I think there is still maybe a conversation out there whether you can even trust Nathan Peterman to be your backup quarterback. I would say no. But now, like, let's go. We're moving on to what we should have been talking about all along. The important discussion, the important thing that we're going to find out, whether Josh Allen's your franchise quarterback. And I think this whole situation, it's a kind of another black eye to put on the Bills here. In the past year, they've been a little bit of a punchline because of their Nathan Peterman experiments both times going horribly wrong. And that's over with, and it should be over with for good. I'd hope. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation tonight. 550-550 is the text line, and you can tweet at me at SneakyJoeWGR. We will hear from both quarterbacks later in the show, Josh Allen and Nathan Peterman. That will be in the next hour at 7:30, about a half hour from now. We will play back Sean McDermott from earlier today. If you missed his press conference, we will play that back for you at 7:30. So, a couple things here. For one, and this was the whole argument to start Josh Allen in the first place, to start him week one. It's not just what's best for him, what's best for Allen. Because, you know, you got to play devil's advocate. What's best for Allen might not always be what's best for the Bills. What would have been best for E.J. Manuel? Maybe what would have been best for E.J. Manuel would have been to let him sit for 2-3 years. Because that guy probably could have learned. He would have needed every tip in the world to become a starting quarterback in the NFL, because he didn't possess the talent to do it. And maybe Allen will be good enough to be a starting quarterback. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll be good enough to be considered a franchise quarterback. There are a bunch of different ways to look at him playing early as a positive to me. Him playing early, for one, makes the games more interesting. And especially if this team is going to be bad. And in week one, if you didn't believe they were going to be bad before the season started, you probably are at least accepting that that's a big possibility now after they just put up a stinker in Baltimore. So it makes the games more interesting. Number two, you win in this league when your quarterbacks are on the rookie contracts. That's when it's easiest to win. Now, of course, you can do it elsewhere. The Patriots have been doing it for a decade with Brady not on a rookie contract. The Packers, I think, won the first one with Rodgers not on a rookie contract. You can do it. But it's easiest when you're not having to pay your quarterback so much money to win. And you, by putting Allen in now, that gives you a whole nother year to play with here, with him on that contract. Suddenly, that final year of that deal, instead of being his third year playing, will be his fourth year playing. And we can debate how big a benefit that is, but I would have to think it's at least somewhat of a positive. There's that. And number three, if he isn't going to be great, we are finding out quicker. We don't have to have a debate going into 2020 whether Allen's going to be the franchise quarterback. Because if he plays the rest of the season, 15 games, and he plays majority of next season, so let's call it an even 30 games. If he gets somewhere around that number, you have a pretty good idea of what you have. You should have a pretty good idea of what you have. And then you can make a decision from there whether, all right, maybe we'll let him play again. Like the Jaguars, I feel like maybe in the spot right now with Blake Bortles. He's been not that good, but he also hasn't been an epic disaster because he's been good enough where if the team around him being good and great on the defensive side of the ball, he's not that bad where you can get to the AFC Championship game and maybe should have even made it to the Super Bowl. And the Jaguars now, like, they gave him that contract, but they can get out of it. If they feel they need to get better at some point, they can do it. And that happened because they let him play right away. Because otherwise, if this was going to be Bortles, I don't know, would it have been third year? Then maybe they don't know. And maybe they're still trying to convince themselves, hey, this guy could be a franchise quarterback. And Allen, I don't know, just everything is quicker. Now, I don't think it'll be quick enough to maybe you get to the point where we start talking about drafting a quarterback in this next draft in 2019. I am going to want really bad for them to do it. If he only looks modest to okay, and they have a top pick in the draft, which right now it looks like there's a pretty good chance that's going to happen. Jeremy wrote about this on our website. You can check that out, WGR550.com. The Fear Bunker, Mahomes, Darnold, and that next class, for sure. Because the last thing you want to happen is go through 2-3 years of Josh Allen and then decide he is not it. And we need to move on. And somewhere along the way, you passed on what could be the first quarterback taken in the 2019 draft, if things keep trending this way. Hopefully they don't, but it is a very real possibility. It'll never happen. I went back and looked. Only two times, I only went back to 1960. I don't know if it happened before that. I think the draft might have even been different. The rules might have been a little different back then. And that would have been while the AFL was also having a draft too. Two teams have ever taken quarterbacks in round one in back-to-back years. The Rams did it in the 60s, 3 years in a row, 62, 63, 64. And then the Colts, the Baltimore Colts, were the last team to do this, where they drafted a first-round quarterback in back-to-back years. They took quarterbacks in 82 and 83, John Elway in 83, and I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name from 82, Art Schlieder? Schlieder? Mike, do you know? You're older than me. You're not that old.
Mark Shalareth?
No. Close, though, I guess. So it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. But you know what really doesn't happen? You don't go into a season with no quarterback on your roster that's ever finished a game. You don't go into a season with no veteran on your roster when you have a top 10 quarterback. That also does not really happen.
Did anybody discuss the Chargers situation when they had Drew Brees for a year after drafting him in the second round? And he was not good, so they went with Rivers, and then he exploded that same year?
No, I mean, not really. I mean, I think they just moved on to Rivers. Like, they just knew that they didn't want Brees long-term. They had Rivers, and, like, that
well,
was it.
Remember, they franchised Brees.
They were both on the roster.
Yep.
They were both on the roster. This would be something different to me. This would be, all right, you just drafted this guy to be your franchise quarterback. You would be 1 year in. In no way would you want anybody to make a final judgment on what Josh Allen is going to be. But at the same time, maybe you get a good enough sense where you would think it's going to sting if we pass on, I don't know, insert name there. Jarrett Stidham is the name today by Mike Miller, Bleacher Report. The teams are apparently falling in love with the Auburn quarterback. There's Will Greer out there. And I'm not saying the Bills would ever do this. In fact, it would be kind of embarrassing if they did do this. But that doesn't mean it wouldn't be smart. And this is all implying, by the way, that Allen would be okay. But this is, all this opens up to me. That, not so much, but even a little bit. Because if Allen didn't play at all this year, at all, or maybe a couple games, then, of course, we're not talking about the 2019 draft. And then if Allen came out and looked bad next year, we're probably still not taking a quarterback in 2020. And if he's bad now, you know, 2 years in, if he's bad, we could be talking about drafting a quarterback in 2020. That's playing devil's advocate, saying if things go poorly, that's what could happen. Even, I just mentioned, on the good side of it, if he's great, it's better that he plays early. You don't want him playing his, I don't think, his de facto rookie season in 2019 when you're ready to start winning. Because I don't think this team is ready to start winning right now. And I didn't all offseason. But next year, with your cap space, your draft picks, and your quarterback going into year two, it's a lot easier to convince people, hey, this team could actually be on the rise and could be a playoff contender, if not a division contender, in 2019. Rather than, yeah, they could be good, but we need to see what Josh Allen is. Because we have no idea, because he hasn't really played.
Not changes. Not to change the subject on you, but cars are blowing up. The phone's blowing up on this Art Schleister guy.
Art Schleister, thank you, everybody. I'm young. Give me a break.
Well, I didn't know about this either, but apparently he had a really bad gambling problem, and they moved on from him after a year.
Okay, so it wasn't like playing.
No, it was. It was personal.
I figured that might have been that because, like I said, like it doesn't really make sense for. I don't want to say it doesn't make sense because I actually think. It's not the worst idea in the world, is it, to keep drafting quarterback after quarterback until you find a guy who's, like, elite? The Bengals have been sitting on Andy Dalton for how long, and he's okay.
Did the Jets try that, though, last couple years in a row?
Right, I'm talking first round. I'm talking, like, using your first pick on a guy. And that can hinder your roster in other places. But I don't know. We don't talk about the quarterbacks that the Dolphins and Bengals have passed on because they have Dalton and Tannehill. But there are got to be examples of young quarterbacks those teams could have taken that would have been upgrades, that would have been elite. And then, you know what? Quarterbacks are valuable. You can trade a guy like Andy Dalton. You could trade a guy like Ryan Tannehill. Hell, Alex Smith's been traded for a second-round pick twice in his career. And I don't even know if I would call him as good as those two. I guess they'd probably all be in the same kind of tier. But it's just, to me, it's never a bad idea to take that guy. And that's another example of the overall arching point here that I think it's only really a positive for him to be playing early. The downside of him playing early is what? The offensive line is so bad that he just can't do anything. Like David Carr-esque in his first year with the Texans. He just looks so bad. At that point, how much can we judge? That'll be tossed out there. And I tend to think if he's going to be a bad quarterback, if he's not going to be a starter in this league, he's just not going to get there, no matter what. I don't think it will be because he sat for a year or because he didn't sit for a year. I think there's no way he's not as ready as Nathan Peterman was. Nathan Peterman wasn't ready to be an NFL quarterback because probably he never will be ready to be an NFL quarterback. It could not have gone worse. And it is still amazing to me that they trotted that guy out there two times. One time doing it over an established starting quarterback in the NFL that had you with a winning record in a playoff hunt. That gave you something on your offense that you knew he was not going to give you with his escapability and his mobility. At least maybe we're getting that with Josh Allen. But it's amazing that we are even in this spot. That they had to be reminded that Nathan Peterman's not an NFL quarterback. And he doesn't need to be on the roster anymore. He doesn't. If Josh Allen were to, knock on wood, if Josh Allen were to get hurt in one of these games, and Peterman's the only other quarterback on the roster, who has confidence that that guy's going to come in and keep you above water? Because that's all you're asking from a backup quarterback. He is not keeping you above water. So far in his career, he hasn't even been close. And it's not like there's a ton of – we've had the Kaepernick discussion yesterday. There's not – other than him, there are not guys that are going to come in and make you a competitive team when you don't have a great roster around it. But, I mean, at this point, we're not even talking about making the playoffs and such if Peterman were in the game. We're talking about staying in games past the first quarter. Two starts, they've been out of games by halftime. And there are those guys out there, the Derek Andersons, the Matt Moores, the Scott Tolzien's. None of those are good ideas to me either. But you've got to work on your backup quarterback position, I think, at some point here. Because there is no way that I especially would have confidence, and a lot of fans too, would feel that they can win games with number two under center. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. 550-550 is the text line, and you can tweet at me at SneakyJoeWGR. So now they got the Chargers, and we had a Chargers reporter on today, Eric Williams. You can check that out. It's on demand at WGR550.com. He was talking about how the Chargers secondary, probably a little disappointed they didn't get their second go at Nathan Peterman. And it's kind of funny that he didn't end up starting this game. That he didn't make it through that first game. We've talked a lot about that over-under number that was in Vegas. The 13.5 starts for Josh Allen. And I thought that was crazy when it came out. Because that was right when Nathan Peterman, we all assumed, was going to start. Because of the Bengals game he had, the third preseason game, how he looked in that game. And how could you see Allen not getting in? Or how could you see Allen getting in the first few weeks? It seemed very hard to believe because they liked Peterman. He had played better in the preseason, and they made it a competition, so they were going to take that into account. And even a little naive on my own part, and I think everybody's part, how could Josh Allen get into a game quickly? We saw how Josh Allen could get into a game quickly because Peterman did it last season. He had a game that was bad enough where, despite being named the starter that week, they had to go to plan B by halftime. And that's what happened again. He was historically bad again. He is, out of 338 quarterbacks rated with quarterback rating in the last 30 years, minimum 50 passes, he's dead last. He is historically bad. And I don't want that as my backup quarterback. And like I said at the beginning of the show here, on to the more important conversation. Because it doesn't really matter who your backup quarterback is. I think if you get to your backup quarterback, no matter what team you are, you're probably, you're limited. You have a ceiling. Unless you get a real special situation like they had in Philly last year. You want your backup to be able to keep you above water. But the main important conversation now that we can move on to and that we can start to figure out what the answer is to is, what is Josh Allen? What does he need to work on too? How are you going to get a good sense on that? If you're the coaches, if you're the general manager, if you're ownership. Wouldn't you get a better sense of, hey, Allen needs to do better at this. Allen needs to do better at this. He needs to be more consistent in his footwork. He needs to stop. He needs to maybe look over the middle of the field a little bit more. He needs to take a few more dump-offs underneath instead of just launching it deep every time. How do you find out stuff like that if he's sitting on the bench? But now we can see it. And now we can actually start to figure out if this guy is the real deal and if we don't have to talk about quarterback for the next decade. Because I'm getting... It's fun. It's fun to talk about. It's the position. It's the most interesting position in the league. But it is getting a little tiring almost every year for my lifetime having to talk about, well, is this guy the answer? Let's get an answer. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's start the segment off with Arnold in Boston. Arnold, you're on the Nightcap. What's up?
Hey, how are you doing? I guess
good.
3 points. The first point, and I sort of agreed a lot with what you were saying about drafting quarterbacks. I think I've called your station about this before. Everyone's a free agent besides a quarterback. You can get anyone anytime as a free agent. You get any position except a quarterback. Tre'Davious White will probably be a free agent by the time the Bills are good. So great. Cornerback over after cornerback we draft that we lose by the time we're good waiting for a quarterback. I honestly would draft everything quarterback. I'd play flag football in the backyard, figure it out after a couple of games as to who's the best, and go with that guy because that's what you're looking for in this league this day. Everyone else, is, as you just mentioned, it's capital. You know, they drafted RG3 and Cousins.
They yep.
Had, RG3 didn't work out. Cousins did. Now, it didn't work out that RG3 got hurt, so you couldn't trade him for much value. But I totally agree with that. So your point. That's my point one. Point yep. two, Peterman should be benched. And there was multiple throws during that game. He was just throwing it up. There is a part of me, though, empathizes where I can't actually remember a situation in which a guy was thrown to the wolves in two worse situations. I mean, if you remember correctly, put in context to your statements about San Diego, we had just been torn up without any offense and gotten killed two games before. And he went out to San Diego. A couple of the picks weren't even his. I would bench him. I would play Allen, but I almost empathize with this guy. I'd hate to define this guy's career over mm-hmm. these games.
No, I feel bad for him even in a way because it's not his fault that he got drafted into a situation where he had to play. I mean, he could have just got drafted by any team in the league, like the Cowboys. If Nathan Peterman would have been drafted by the Cowboys to be their backup quarterback, he would not be a joke nationwide.
Yep. And I do have a third point, and it's totally different. I don't know if you guys take points about anything except the Bills. It's about Serena Williams. Can I discuss it for a second, or you guys stay on topic of the Bills?
Well, yeah, it's end of the segment, so that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to say, I don't know if you guys are following this Serena Williams thing.
I've been following it, yes.
You know, I get to this point now where, and maybe I can say this because I'm not at a radio broadcaster or announcer, and you're beholden to what people say about this. But she behaved extremely badly. She was a bully. Threatening this guy's career, you can't umpire while I'm here, but for me, she was being a bully. Is the Me Too movement really going to get behind that type of action? I'm all for Me Too. I'm all for all of that. Serena Williams was acting badly. Losing a game for that and somehow equating it to McEnroe. You know what? Act like a human being and stop bullying someone.
Yeah, Arnold, I wonder what you think about this because I kind of have two schools of thought on this. I think that both things can be right. I think she could have been subject to sexism. I think that there is evidence out there that, yeah, men tennis players do get away with stuff like that. But at the same time, she could have been subject to that and also acted poorly. Because I do agree with that. I think that she did. I think there was some behavioral stuff there that you wouldn't like to see. But at the same time, I think she's also making a point. So I'm kind of stuck in the middle on that.
I guess I heard a segment by Stephen A. Smith where he was calling out Serena, basically saying, this ref, Ramos, had a history of doing this with Djokovic. He had been taking away violations and points and games with other male players. That's one part of my argument. The second part of the argument is, this was, you know, people keep on saying, well, you know, people swear and they have four-letter words and guys do worse. She was calling this guy a thief and threatening his career. Like, is that where you're putting... You're backing that behavior or some sexist movement? We don't have a better card to play than that. I mean, I thought it was disgusting the way she was acting.
Yeah, I didn't really. I wouldn't have called it disgusting because, to be honest, I would have been pretty upset too if I had just been given a foul for something that had been taken a game away from me for something that I didn't feel was right, and then the ref actually did agree with her. At one point saying, oh, okay, I didn't know that it wasn't coaching. But then he kept the penalty on. So I could see why she would have been frustrated, but yeah, acted out on it, and it's a tough situation. But I think both sides can be in the right a little bit. All right, Arnold, thanks for the call. We're going to get back to the Bills after this segment. Chuck, Rick, Chuck and Nick, stay on hold. We'll get to you, 803-0550. If you want to get your thoughts in, you can also text us at 550-550. It's happening. Josh Allen... It's time. It's the Josh Allen era here in Buffalo. He is starting Sunday against the Chargers. What does it mean about the Bills going forward? And, you know, we can start talking about now whether this guy is going to be the real deal. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's the Nightcap. Mike Jafari and Jody Biasi here on WGR.
I think it was good.
experience there. Each day he gets more and more reps, more and more chance to be around what we're doing, the system, NFL football. It's all just part of the overall process, the growth process that you go through, you know, and just acclimating oneself to life in the NFL and then life under center. And so it's all part of the development.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, we're going to hear more from him in just a few minutes here on WGR. And that'll lead you into the top of the hour. Let's continue with your phone calls, though. 803-0550 is the number if you want to get in on the conversation. Let's go to Chuck in Hamburg. Chuck, you're on the nightcap. What's up?
Okay, I've been listening for hours.
Okay.
And I've been hearing all the bashing of Peterman. Since last year, I'm in a minority. I'm a Peterman fan. I think he's a good quarterback.
But what have you seen that makes you think he is a good quarterback?
He played a full game. He has not played a full game.
Because he can't make it to halftime. Without.
Are you listening to me? Please do not interrupt me. The offensive line on Sunday, I watched that game. They were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You play like that against Brady, we will kill Brady.
What about the offensive line last year? He had a better offensive line last year. He still threw 5 interceptions.
Yes. He's a rookie. Now, what happens if Josh Allen does the same thing? Because he's a rookie.
Yeah, he's a first-round pick, though. You get more leeway when you're a first-round pick instead of a fifth-round pick.
To work with him. You need to give him a chance. I can't believe, as a Buffalo Bills fan, people were throwing him to the wolves and getting rid of him so quickly.
There's a reason that people want to get rid of him so quickly, Chuck. It is that he was a fifth-round pick, and in the limited game action he's seen, he's the worst quarterback in NFL history. It's not even exaggeration. It is backed up by how he's performed. They had 0 first downs. I'll give you one thing. I'll give you credit. It is very hard to be a Nathan Peterman fan right now. And if you're finding a way to do it, Godspeed. But they had 0 first downs, and he was the quarterback for that offense. Allen, sure, he was not great when he came in either, but it wasn't 0 first downs, and it wasn't 5 interceptions. It's not fair to Peterman. He should have never started. To this point, he should have never started an NFL game. Never. He should have been drafted as a fifth-round guy to be a backup somewhere. Dallas, Tampa, anywhere. I don't care. And then, guess what? He would not be a punchline nationally, which he is. And it's for good reason. Because when he's played, he's been terrible. I've never seen anything worse. You know why? Because it's arguable that there has been nothing that's been worse. Ever. So you had to make the switch. In your home opener, for the fans, also for the future of your organization, you needed to move on to the first round pick, because he is the one that matters. Not the guy that you picked in the fifth round last year. We've done that. Who cares? Those guys come through here all the time. Levi Brown was a 7th round pick. He never got game action. Oh, should we not have started him, give him a shot? And then if he would have played terrible, it's, well, throw Levi Brown to the wolves. There's no argument where Peterman, there's no argument that Peterman should still be this team's quarterback. No chance. Any team's quarterback. But Chuck, thanks for the call anyway. Let's go to Nick and OP. Nick, you're on the nightcap. What's up?
Hey, Joe. How you doing? Big fan. Just a big question for you. So when do we panic as Bills fans looking at the quarterback situation? You look at Sean McDermott. They drafted Josh Allen, who has sold me. But looking back at it, he's the biggest project. He's the biggest boom or bust. But you look at where they're at right now, and Sean McDermott trusted Nathan Peterman twice after his brutal game. You go, okay, he's a rookie. Next season, that's fine. You know, obviously he's had a year to prep with the team and all that stuff. But again, he's just looked brutal. So when do we panic and say, what are we going to do? Because Josh Allen is, you know, Sean McDermott's project, and that's what he wants to grow. And even still, going into next year, if we've got the first overall pick, now we're handcuffed. we really can't take a quarterback. There's nothing we could do. We could, sure, trade Josh Allen and give up on him, but if Sean McDermott's there, he's never going to want to do that. But we're handcuffed as far as this is our quarterback going forward. If we've got a first overall pick and there's a quarterback there, I think we got to pass on him.
Yeah, Nick, thanks for the call. Handcuffed is an interesting term to me. Because, yeah, you could be handcuffed to him and he could be terrible and that could be a problem, but he could also be great and then you're handcuffed to him and good. I'm glad I'd be handcuffed to him. But I know, they would never do it. They would never draft a quarterback first overall after picking Josh Allen. But does that mean it would have been the smart decision? Because couldn't you just draft the kid first? And if you think he's a better prospect than what you thought Allen was last year, you're telling me there'd be no team out there that would want Josh Allen? It wouldn't be completely inconceivable to me that that would be a smart idea. What realistically probably would happen is if the Bills end up picking first, second, third, wherever, if they're near the top of the draft, and there are quarterbacks worth those picks, we don't have some historically bad year like in 2013 when it was E.J. Manuel, Geno Smith, I don't know, it was Mike Glennon in that draft, whoever. Unless you get a situation like that, and it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, what you probably will able to be do, what you'll do, is you'll trade down to a team who's going to want a franchise quarterback, and you'll get your assets that way. That's probably what realistically happens if you end up in that situation. And then guess what? If that guy you traded down to not draft ends up being amazing, well, he'll just be another name on the list of guys that we have passed on in this 20 years since Jim Kelly left or retired. Nick, thanks for the call. Let's go to Rich in Kenmore. Rich, you're on the Nightcap. What's up?
Hello. I just want to say I think Bean and McDermott have put Allen in really a difficult situation. You look at McNown as tutoring Darnold, Tyrod with Mayfield, Bradford with
Rosen.
And what do we got? We got Peterman. And we have a quarterback's coach who's never been a quarterback's coach. Even last year, Mahomes had Alex Smith and he had Andy Reid. Well, McDermott is no Andy Reid. Where is the backup, the support? And that's saying nothing about that our receivers are covered like Velcro. They can't get any separation, and our offensive line stinks. It's a terrible situation for Allen, and Bean and McDermott are in part to blame.
I mean, you're not wrong. It's not. No, you're not wrong. And that's been a worry of mine since they drafted him. I've used the Chiefs, like you mentioned there, and I've used the Eagles as examples. Those are teams that when they brought their young quarterbacks in, had him come in to a support system that was going to help lift him up. The Chiefs with Andy Reid and all the weapons around Mahomes right now. Did you see Tyreek Hill on Sunday? Holy cow, that guy. Not only can he make anybody miss in the open field, probably better at it than anyone in the league, and making someone miss an open field. He's making circus catches in triple coverage, and he's like 5'9". And then go throw Sammy Watkins in as your second receiver, and Travis Kelce, who's arguably one of the best tight ends in the league, and then Kareem Hunt, who last year led the league in rushing. That's a support system. That's what you want your young quarterback going into. The Eagles, when Wentz went in there. Doug Peterson, former quarterback. Frank Reich, former quarterback. John DeFilippo, who's being given a lot of credit as one of the good young offensive coaches in the league. He was his quarterback's coach, and now I think he's the OC in Minnesota. Veteran quarterbacks all around him. Chase Daniel, year one. Nick Foles, last year. They went out. They added a big-time wide receiver in Alshon Jeffrey. Maybe they don't have the superstars other than that, but they went out and they signed a big-time receiver in Alshon Jeffrey to pair with, one of the best tight ends in the league in Zach Ertz. And Allen has got a defensive-minded head coach, a terrible offensive line, an offensive coordinator who, in his limited time as an offensive coordinator in the league, has been near the bottom of the league in offense and has been run-oriented, a number one wide receiver who seems like he can't jump very high in the air, or run very fast. He's big, sure. That only gets you so far. and then past him, journeyman, for the most part. And that's about it. And no veteran quarterback around him. Peterman is what he has. So yeah, he's not walking into a very good support system. I don't even know how you could argue he is. He's not being coddled in here. He is being thrown in to put out the fire. They're asking him, this year at least, to carry this team. Because otherwise, they're not going anywhere. He has to be great right away, I think, for this team to be good. Now, next year, you can build that support system around him, and they need to, because you have the opportunity to do it with your picks and your cap room. But as of now, there's nothing. There's almost nothing for him to rely on. He's got a running back. That's it. He's got a great running back. Other than that, he's in a tough spot. I agree. 803-0550 is the phone number. Rich, thanks for the call. We'll get to more of your calls on the other side of this break. 803-0550 is the phone number. Talking about the quarterbacks here, in particular, Josh Allen, who will start against the Chargers on Sunday. It's the Nightcap, Joe DiBiase, and Mike Jafari here on WGR.
Still has found the fountain of youth. He looks great. I mean, to me, the defense has to rise to the occasion and at least try to give Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, and the rest of the offense a chance.
ESPN's Chris Mortensen on with One Bills Live earlier today here on WGR. That's also on demand at WGR550.com. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's keep rolling through some calls here on WGR. Let's go to Ken in Williamsville. Ken, you're on the Nightcap. What's up?
Hey, Joe. Hey, look it. I listen to your station all the time, and I can't believe that the Chad Kelly hasn't been brought up. We wouldn't even have to use a draft pick on him. And we could just got to sign him as a free agent. He made some bad...
Well, they would have had to use a draft pick on him because he was the final pick of the draft last year.
Well, okay. Well, I thought he wasn't even drafted. But can you imagine getting him in? I mean, I know he had a wrist surgery, and he made some bad choices, and he made some bad decisions because he's a young kid. But he's got his act straightened out in Denver, and he's pushing for the starting job out there.
I wouldn't say he's pushing for the starting job. He's got the backup job. He took out Paxton Lynch for that. Keenum looked pretty good for the Denver in week one. I don't think they're very close to putting Chad Kelly in. I mean, is it easy to say I'd rather have Chad Kelly here right now than Nathan Peterman? Only because I don't know that he's terrible? I don't know. I think we're talking about a backup quarterback position in that situation anyway. Chad Kelly was the Mr. Irrelevant for Denver, so the Bills would have had to use a seventh-round pick on him. Let's go to Greg in Toronto. Greg, you're on the Nightcap. What's up?
You're right on with what you said about if they did end up with the first, second, or third pick in the draft, I really see them just, you know, getting whatever they can for that pick because they know, you know, we don't need to go 15 more games to know they need some serious help on that O-line, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they would definitely, see if they can get someone else's first, second, and third for the, you know, even if it's like the third overall pick, that's still not asking a lot, I don't think, anyway.
That was what, let's see, the Jets traded up to three this year where the Colts were, and they moved down, what, three spots and got three second-round picks or something like that? So they still got a haul because they were picking third.
And that's exactly what you need to draft O-linemen, and then you need to throw in a couple of receivers in there. And really, I think if – I'm always the eternal optimist, but if they can really just take care of that O-line and get a bona fide receiver, I think we're – a genuine playoff team, going deep in the playoffs team.
Yeah, I mean, Greg, thanks for the call. You're hitting on some good points here. I mean, even if your quarterback is good enough and you have a great offensive line, you really don't need a lot more than that. Dallas, not last year, but the year before, when their offensive line was like the best in the NFL and Dak was really good, they had Elliott and they had, like you said, a stud receiver. That defense wasn't that great. They didn't have much past Dez Bryant at receiver. Their tight end was 100 years old in Witten. They still made it, and they were 13-3. So, yeah, I don't know. It could turn around very quickly. But for this year, you know, it doesn't have to be a boring offseason, too. Like, this year was nuts with all the quarterbacks and the Bills needing one and all the, oh, how are they going to trade up? What do they need to give up to trade up? How high can they go? And if they get this high, which one do you want? Like, the perfect storm for an offseason in talking points surrounding the Bills. And if it sets up this way where the Bills are picking near the top of the draft and they have their quarterback, could still be an interesting lead up to the draft. We'd probably be talking about how far down do you want to go? What position are they going to go for? How much would you take to go down this far versus this far? So those are conversations that, you know, hopefully we won't have to have in the future, but we probably will, because I don't see this team winning enough games where we're not having that conversation. Greg, thanks for the call. Let's get one more call before we go to the top of the hour, and then we'll keep rolling through them in hour number two. Let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on the nightcap. What's up?
Hi, thanks for having me. I just want to talk about, like, the coaching in this team. Now, week one, I kind of want your opinion on this as well, but we have both Nate Peterman at fault, and we also have Sean McDermott. Because Sean McDermott, I've liked him all throughout last year. I love the fact that he got us to the playoffs for the first time in 17 years. But I feel like ever since that week one loss, I've kind of started to lose faith, or not really lose faith, but kind of lose hope in Sean McDermott's plan. Because if he were to, I'm not saying that Josh Allen would have won our game on week one, but if he were to start Josh Allen rather than Nate Peterman, that would have put us in a much more suitable spot for week two, rather than having Nate Peterman doing a terrible job week one and putting Josh Allen in a place where he has to prove his point that he's over Nate Peterman. I don't see it being the best option for us to have played Nate Peterman in that week one game.
Absolutely agree. Yeah, Joe, thanks for the call. Sorry to cut you off there, but absolutely agree. What did the Jets do with Darnold? They didn't start him that first preseason game, but after that, you knew. You could just tell. They knew that they were going with Sam Darnold for week one. So what'd they do? They gave him the starts for the rest of the preseason. They gave him pretty much all the reps from what I saw in the rest of training camp. And he came out firing in week one. That doesn't mean Allen would have done that. But yeah, if you could go back in time right now, I don't know how you could say you would put Peterman back in. If you could go back in time and you knew you're going to be in this spot where Josh Allen's going to be your starter by week two, why not just have Allen get all the reps through camp? Get all the starts in the preseason. Get that first game against Baltimore. Get him as ready as possible. Instead, he didn't see first team reps for the first few weeks of training camp. He got him for 1 week. He got one start. And that was it. And then he was your backup. And now, he's got to be thrust in there to start. It's not the best situation that you could put him in. And Sean McDermott today saying that he would do it again, putting Peterman in there, and that he would go to his grave with that decision being right. It's not right. To me, you got to be able to admit where you were wrong. And I don't know how you can argue that you weren't wrong here. I guess the only way you could argue, hey, I wasn't wrong to start Nathan Peterman, is if Allen's just as bad. That's the only way. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get to more calls in the next hour. And we'll hear from the head coach who was on earlier today. If you missed his press conference, it is on demand, but we will play it back for you in hour number two. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi and Mike Jafari here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.